used to standing up in front of people, but this is a little bit different. When I was asked to give my testimony of God's faithfulness to me, I knew that I had to include two things that are bound together, and those things are God's word. He shows his faithfulness to me through his word, and also how he has used the people of Fairfield Church in my life. And God brought us all here today for a purpose, for our own spiritual growth, but also for the spiritual growth of everyone sitting around us. And we may not even realize how he's doing that. But I'm going to share with you a little bit of how he's done that in my life. When I was contemplating what I would do, I knew I had to include God's word, and I didn't know what portion of scripture I wanted to use, and I kept coming back to Titus 2. And so my remarks are basing a lot of this on Titus 2 and what God teaches us there. In Titus 2, 1 and 2, we are exhorted to hold fast and strong to the doctrine of God's word. And the men in the church are exhorted to mentor one another, to mentor the older men, to mentor the younger men. And we're also told that about the women in a moment. But I think what we have to understand, or what I see, is it's not just the chronologically older men training and mentoring the younger men, but we're all at a different age spiritually. And we have those who are more mature in their faith have something to give to those who are just coming to faith, and vice versa. The men in they're also I said to strive for righteousness and to mentor younger men. The leadership of Fairfield Church has, in my 37 years here, always done that. Over the years, God raised up godly men who would strive to maintain a church that stands strong on biblical truth. Men such as Art Lewis, who helped to separate this congregation from a liberal mainline denomination that was going to compromise God's standards and God's commands. And for that, we are blessed. The elders of this church, like Gus Weiler and Leroy Hyder, Larry Maypow, Todd Jorgensen, Wayne Ernst, these men took a vow to maintain the purity of this church. And I have been blessed by the effort of these men in making sure that I was always under sound biblical teaching since I arrived here 37 years ago. But my testimony, my personal testimony of how God has used this church and how he has been faithful to me in being faithful to this church, is specifically linked to Titus 2, 3 to 5, where it says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." These verses are summarized in how God used several women in this church to impact my life when I arrived here as a 26-year-old single woman. I was away from my home and my family. I had friends at Cumberland Regional, but it's not the same as family, especially in a time of suffering or crisis. I knew I needed a family here in the Bridgeton area, and an elder at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Malvern, PA, recommended that I come here. Now, I have to tell you a little bit, here's how this what I call the threads that God weaves together. When I started to go to Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, it was a church plant by O. Palmer Robertson. And shortly after I arrived there, he left. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to get to sit under the teaching of this wonderful man. But he went to Covenant Seminary. And I didn't know it at the time, but he was teaching a young man who would become my pastor, and thereby I am, in a way, sitting under the teaching of O. Palmer Robertson, because I am sitting under the teaching of Michael Schulke. I came here and I was encouraged by Larry Roth to join the choir. It was the choir where I found my family. It was a family within the family. We teased and we chided at each other, but we held each other to high standards. And there were three very, very special women who became Titus II type women in my life. These women didn't realize that they were fulfilling Titus II in my life. They were just being used by God, and God used them mightily. First was Sarah Ridgway, our dear Sarah. Sarah was the definition of an amateur singer. Amateur, by definition, means doing something for the love of doing it. And Sarah sang because she loved to sing to her Lord. She taught me the importance of singing for the right purpose, to honor and glorify God. The second woman was also a very special woman, Alma De Beer. Alma was a beautiful woman with an amazing soprano voice, and she encouraged me to sing and be confident in what I was singing. She would say, "You know this song. You can hit that note. See, you can do this." The first time I sang a solo Christmas Eve, I was extremely nervous and sitting in the choir loft shaking, waiting my turn to sing, and Alma said, "Don't worry. You can do this." And when I sat down, she just patted me and said, "See, you did it." If I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord today, it's because of Alma's encouragement. Alma also taught me something else that was very, very important to me. She taught me the importance of focusing on being a godly single woman and not wondering if God had marriage in my plans, in his plan for me. She related to me that there was a gentleman in her life that she possibly could have become engaged to, but he wanted her to convert to Catholicism, and she wouldn't do it. She didn't want to compromise where she stood on the gospel and biblical truth. So those words stayed with me, and I thought, I need to release this stress of worrying about this. I need to be the best godly woman I can be, just like Alma. Shortly after that, this guy with a beard from Pittsburgh moved it down this way and joined the choir. And the rest, as they say, is history, as that bearded gentleman sits there. Different color beard, yes. And finally, there was our dear Pat Walbert. One choir rehearsal, all of the sopranos were gone except for me. And we had Christmas music to practice, and she said, "Well, Barb, you sing the soprano solo parts." And I'm like, "Oh, boy, good thing it's rehearsal and I don't have to sing it in front of people." But I did it, and then later Pat came up to me and said, "Well, we're doing a cantata. Would you sing the solo in this part? I have special music that I think would be good for you. Would you sing a solo on Sunday morning?" And I'm like, "Oh, my goodness." And she encouraged me to sing those solos. And when I would sit down, come back to the pew and sit down, and she would sit down from the organ, she would always turn around and pat me on the knee and say, "That was beautiful, Barb." And I can still hear her saying that whenever I sit down. When I sat down this past Christmas Eve, I sat down and I could hear Pat's voice saying, "That was beautiful." I wanted to sing to God's glory, and Pat has taught me how to do that. But she also was a woman who spoke her mind and asked questions when she had questions and would challenge you in matters of faith when she had questions about them. She didn't like the book of Judges, okay, which we did on Sunday nights. But as much as she complained about it, later on she would say, "Well, wasn't that in the book of Judges when they did da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da?" So I learned that you might not like the book that you're studying, but God has a purpose for it. He is faithful in his word, and he's teaching you something with it. And she taught me to ask questions. So I started asking questions and throwing monkey wrenches into Mike's lessons and thought, if I have a question, I'm going to ask it, because otherwise I'm not going to learn. So Mike, That's Pat's gift to us. Okay. And what I'd like to close with is Fairfield Church, my wonderful church family, who has upheld me through so many difficulties in this past year. I am encouraged by the faithfulness of each member of this part of the body of Christ. May we look to the words of Titus 2, 11 to 15 for guidance and encouragement. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. And my prayer for my brothers and sisters in Christ is that you will recognize that you have an impact on the life of everyone in this church, whether you recognize it and you know it or not, because Sarah and Alma and Pat didn't seek to be a mentor or an influence on my life, but God sought them to do so. Thank you.
Amen.
Well done, Barbara. Well done. Thank you so very much. It is a blessing. And, you know, I'm going to mention Palmer Robertson this morning and the book of Judges. So, so with that in mind, let us stand as we give of our